This is Spiritual Civilization, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking about vision and personality.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this episode of Spiritual Civilization, a very, very wonderful series that we have been doing, where we meet together to break down the Word of God, and we're also able to, of course, edify each other, and we do hope that you have been edified so far by the series. My name is Pastor Evans Ochieng, and I am joined by these lovely gentlemen, starting with the gentleman here on my right, who has a very, very wonderful iPad, I must say, the Reverend Richard Mwendo Moki, the Cardinal, Dean of the African Cathedral, the only Cardinal who is actually married. Hallelujah. And to my left, we have Deacon Robinson Oluoch Omol, Super Deacon, Super MC, Super Dancer, Super DJ, one-stop shop for everything you need, entertainment as well as ministry. And then on my extreme left, we have the man, chairman of One Desire Fellowship, Mr. Lili Mandela, a very, very wonderful gentleman, very astute, and also very amiable. So even as we begin today's session, I want us to just go and, or rather say a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this day to just say thank you, Jehovah, my God. We say thank you, my God, for the gift of fellowship, for the ability to be able to meet together, my Father God, to just break down your word, my Father God, and be able, oh Lord, even to be a blessing to each other, my Father God. I pray for this session, my God. I pray that your spirit may lead us, that you may guide us, my God, into all truth, my Father God. And that, Lord, you may infuse us, oh Lord, with your spirit, oh loving Father God, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, my God, to be able to decode your word and to be able to come to a place of not only understanding, my God, but also application, Jehovah, my Father. I praise you and I honor your holy name, for it is in Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. And today I have the wonderful opportunity of introducing our father. He is the presiding bishop of Infinite Fellowship Ministries, Bishop Gobanga J.O.
Ladies and gentlemen, I take this opportunity to say that I'm glad to be with us today as you tune in to this broadcast. We are continuing with the series we started last week, and this is part two, vision and personality. We had a very wonderful conversation whereby certain nuggets were loaded, and indeed some of them were mind-boggling. I don't know about today, but we will see how the Lord would actually take us. And I want to probably just take the approach of us discussing in brief on personality and see how it correlates with vision. So what is personality? Personality is, I would actually say that personality is the actuality of one's incessant distinctiveness that is not contingent on any context. I would also say that personality connotes the posture of one's essence. Personality refers to the intrinsic worth of an individual's being. I would further also go to say that personality is the composite and integral nature of one's individuality, which cannot vacillate irrespective of any situation. Your personality, beloved, is the repository of your natural abilities, talents, and giftings as given to you by God so as to effectuate His desire. And every one of us is bestowed with a personality. And our personality proceeds from the very being of God's nature. It is basically the confluence of the mind, the will, as well as the emotions of an individual. And this is what also constitutes the distinctive status, if I may use that word, of an individual. And beloved, it is important for you to know that just as you are a person, God is also a person. And that's why it is important that every aspect of your personality is able to be in fellowship with those aspects of the personality of God. The mind of God fellowshipping with the mind of man, the heart of God fellowshipping with the heart of man, the will of God also fellowshipping with the will of God. I usually say that whenever God ministers to an individual, what he does is that he summarizes his personality by entreating it to come forth and incline his life towards his purpose. And friends, it's important to know that a vision from God can only be revealed and expressed from the entirety of one's personality. The rumination of divine vision takes place within the place of personality. So I want to open the floor for us to discuss further based on either what I've shared, or probably you might be having, you might be boiling, as Stormzy would say, to just say something.
The will of God fellowshipping with the will of man. I'm now realizing, Bishop, that fellowship is active engagement on both parts. You can't just have a single party driving the engagement. And when I consider the journey of personality as the active engagement of the will of man with the active engagement of the will of God, I realize that the predisposition of most people is to put up a front, a pretense, when it comes to their will and what they intend to do. They try and synthesize an expectation based on their knowledge of scripture to project a pseudo form of one's will that tries to mask their true and hidden intentions. And I think this reality, in as far as the journey of personality, is something that has jumped out of what you are sharing, because I now realize that in the moments that I've done this, because we do this quite a bit of time, and in the moments I've done this, I've robbed myself of the opportunity to grow in the knowledge of who I am. Because the more my will fellowships with God's will, the more I get to understand who I am and who God is in my life. Thank you for sharing that, Bishop.
I think the danger with this whole conversation around personality is you hear a lot of excuses from people. You know, I am phleg. So because of the fact that I am phleg, I just want peace. I want to be quiet in the midst of conflict. Or I am melancholic. So there are certain standards that need to be at play for me to be able to relate with a particular individual. I think sometimes people use personality to justify some of the things that really are not necessarily right. So when I consider the place of personality, I realize that it has very little to do with just what I prefer and how I've been brought up and how I see things, my worldview overall. It has everything to do with my ability to be able to touch base and relate to the person of God. Because as I relate to the person of God, then my personality will be able to find expression, provided that it is in tandem with my identity as well as my vision, as we have been discussing even in the previous episode. So I realize that at times there's this disconnect where people seem to use their personality as a justification for why they behave in a certain way. And yet in the real sense, personality in itself is supposed to allow you to be able to interact with the person of God, so that your personality is able to be expressed in the best way possible, so that you're able to bear fruit.
I tend to believe that what you're trying to say, Stormzy, is that, you know, what we refer to as personality types, this is basically something that is borrowed from the fallen nature of man. Because when you look at scripture, you don't read about phlegmatic, choleric, yeah, sanguine, and melancholic. Okay, I may not want to necessarily downplay those aspects, but the truth of the matter is this: when the Bible talks about the personality of a person, it's very, very basic. It's very simple. It's talking about all that constitutes your existence, by virtue of you being a human being. Your mind, your will, as well as also your emotion. It's basically talking about those inherent qualities, those qualities that are primordial in nature. Choleric nature is not primordial. Yeah. Being melancholic is not being primordial. Being sanguine is not being primordial. Being, which other one have I not mentioned?
Phleg
is not being primordial. Those are basically borrowed types from the fallen nature of man.
Yeah.
What I know basically is that, yes, there are those of us who are very loud and there are those of us who are not. There are those of us who believe in doing things perfectly. But the question is, what is it that is underlying? There's what should be the underlying principle behind that. And I believe that which is underlying is basic, we should see it in terms of the vision that God has given to you. When vision becomes the modulating factor, it doesn't matter what projections you have, whether it be projections of being choleric and so on and so forth. So long as vision is in place, what happens is the Holy Spirit is able to, what he does is able to carry you beyond your humanistic essence of expression, such that at the end of it all, you find that whether choleric or melancholic, there's always a convergence. But what happens is people have always capitalized on these personality types, and I tend to regard them as points of limitation. Mm-hmm. That because I'm choleric, mm-hmm. I limit myself to being choleric.
Uh-huh.
Such that everything wrong that I do, mm-hmm. I will always justify it. That, you know what, it's because I'm choleric. So I end up missing out on vision. And therefore, I cannot fulfill my purpose. Same case also to every other personality types.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, because how I see it is personality is not meant to be a limitation, but it's supposed to be an expression. The way we, when we commune with God and transact with God, there are things that he enables us to do that go beyond this human limitation of the personality types. That's why you're able to see someone who you would typically say is a sanguine and cannot do this and that. By their expression in Christ, they're able to do that and even more than what you had expected. I tend to believe that we have not yet really begun to scratch the surface about what God has to say about our personality. Because all along we've possibly looked at all these kinds of types. I would even throw in this thing for love languages and things like that, you know, like, and I'm not saying that the research done behind that and even the conversations around them are bad, but or wrong. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, what does God have to say about our personality, how we express, and how do we tap into that inherent power so that we may go beyond the place of limitation, such that you can have this one kind of expression that the world may see you limited in other aspects, but because you are in Christ and because you have realized your true identity and you have vision and walking towards purpose, you're able to actually go beyond and do that which many would actually consider that you could not be able to do. I see personality from the point of view of Christ as being an expression rather than a limitation.
From what Bishop described earlier, I got to see personality as the most, the summation of the most consistent elements of a person's character, if I may so say, rather than just mere personality types.
Yes.
In the sense that I like using examples, but I don't have a very good example at the moment, but Because our personalities are embodiments of not just our emotions, but also our thought processes, our will, our emotions. When they come to all that, they form our personality. The consistency of that is what enables us to understand who we are, because who we are is a complete person. We already complete. It's just that in the process of formation is now we are discovering. It is a journey towards completion and perfection. So the way I'm seeing, I'm understanding this conversation is that there are things that we have been told that this personality is part of the process of formation towards my vision.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Mandela. You know, vision can actually be derived from the repository of one's personality.
Wow.
You know, when God speaks to your personality,
yeah,
understand, it is because within the sanctum of your personality, the vision for your life basically resides. It is within his vision that the purpose of God is actually nurtured. You know, we know that vision basically cradles the purpose of God insofar as the element of time is concerned.
Wow.
Not insofar as eternity is concerned. Insofar as time is concerned, vision is basically the cradle of purpose. However, you must know that the purpose of God has always preceded the perception of vision, especially in the juncture of personality. Okay? The purpose of God has always preceded vision within the juncture of personality. And beloved, what happens is that whenever God speaks his prophetic word, it basically draws out the purpose that he has vested within the trappings of vision. And then what happens is that personality serves as a buffer, okay, which the Holy Spirit uses to induct you to the corresponding grace to operationalize the process of vision. And that's why, friends, when you allow the person of your being to interface with the person of God's being, you'll be able to comprehend the extent of your vision in light of God's purpose that he has actually ordained for your life. Then I would also further say that the personality of your being is the fountain of the actuality of your being, whereby God, bestowing on you everything that pertains to your life insofar as purpose is concerned. I would also go further to say that your personality entails the enigma of who you are on the strength of the disclosure of divine vision. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. It basically divulges your origin as well as also your destiny that appertains to your purpose. Because friends, your being is the core that enables you to accomplish your destiny. And that is why anything that is not consonant with the divine declaration of God with respect to you must not be espoused at all. Mm. Gentlemen, we are talking.
You said that it is within God's vision that the purpose of God is cradled. I think Matthew 6 verse 33 puts it really well. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." I think for a long time in my religious upbringing, I actually thought that that seek ye first the kingdom of God implies that as you seek the kingdom, then now you get riches. So that Mercedes you're desiring because it is your dream car, a certain kind of spouse and a certain kind of family, a certain kind of children, a certain level of opulence is what will be added unto you. But I've realized from what you've shared that it's not really in the physical things. All these things are a factor of the expression of vision in each successive season. So as I begin to pursue what God's vision is, then my vision will be able to find expression. It's not the other way around. So I can't expect to now fulfill my vision or attain to the place of understanding my vision, and then I forget the vision of God insofar as the kingdom is concerned. Because remember that we're not just believers just for ourselves. We are believers because we are meant to stir up other people, non-believers, to be able to know who God is and to be able to come to the saving grace of who Christ is in their lives.
So I realized that the whole scripture that says seek ye first the kingdom of God is not just about me. It's about basically understanding what is God's vision. And once I pursue God's vision, then now my vision and his purpose for my life begins to find expression.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That is a bionic man. Wow. Walking in his bionic element. Wow.
Mm.
The trapeze mode. Hallelujah. Who else goes next?
Yeah. Please, Chairman, go ahead.
They have also understood it is personality. We use it as a long time to confine ourselves to use it as a mode of limitation.
Yeah.
While to God, it's not a mode of limitation. It's a mode of expressing what is in us. For example, let me just go even just to the simplest things. Personality types, because I'm a choleric, I can't live with a just sanguine, quote unquote, true senior, just people as they say, but of course you've seen cholerics getting married to sanguine or whatever.
Yeah.
But the idea is that it is so implanted in our heads that who I am cannot coexist with another person. And that's where we start even getting wrong with our vision, the way our vision can impact people. So based on my personality, now it brought even beyond the places, the scope of personality types. Coming into a broader place when now I have come with that mentality to my broader understanding of personality, it seems that there are points in our lives we've used the idea of who we are in terms of our personality to limit what we can do with God's vision for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not what God is saying in this case. If everything coexists in God so well, why can't we use our personalities to project and impact anyone and everyone around us?
You know, I tend to believe, now that you're talking about it, Mandela, I tend to believe that the human personality, or maybe put it this way, my personality should actually serve as an environment that is able to encompass the spectrums of all varying circumstances and every variation that I would actually touch base in so far as human existence is concerned. So that now, if I am probably choleric, if I may use that, if we are to speak in this borrowed term, you know, if I am choleric, I can be able to exist with a sanguine, with a melancholic, and with a phlegmatic for that reason. Because at the end of the day, you find that even when we consider all these types of personalities, there are certain advantages that we are able to derive from them. So that at the end of the day, we must, look beyond the types of personalities and look into the spectrum of what exactly God is saying. Because personality in itself should not be limited to type. Personality in itself should actually be seen as an environment.
Yes.
Or an atmosphere, you know?
Yeah.
You see, it is an atmosphere. Actually, the very place of the ability that man is able to walk in the exercise of dominion and be able to actualize his destiny, I tend to believe, when you look at human beings as realms.
Yeah. Yes,
I tend to believe that the exercise of realms in the place of humanity is within the construct of personality.
Hey,
So you're saying personality is the atmosphere with which other human beings can interact with you?
Yes.
Yeah, and not they're not limited.
They're not limited. Yes, you're not limited and they're not limited. But when you look at it in terms of types, we are basically operating at a very downgraded scale.
Yeah.
It's like you're trying to redefine what God has already defined.
It's so true.
Okay. That's, you see, that is an old, I'm thinking of something that I said when I was doing the Canality series in 2012. That's the old mind.
Yeah.
Your mind is so old. Your heart is so old. Your will is so old. So you're operating from a very, very old scale.
The old man.
Yeah.
So what we think as personalities in terms of man is not what God thinks of it. God thinks of it as an atmosphere.
Yes.
When God is looking at me, he's looking at the atmosphere of Lily, or when God is looking at Richie, he's looking at the atmosphere
mm-hmm.
which he is. Mm-hmm.
And each of us must access every one of us's atmosphere, because why would God bring us together as a community? Why are we in this living room having this conversation? It's because he wants the various atmospheres that we carry to interact with each other, so that there is impartation, there's an exchange program.
Mm-hmm.
Not types of do's and don'ts and being so old scaled.
Let me jump right in. You know, my mind is moving at, I don't even know how fast. I'm in the mental autobahn.
You've now captured your atmosphere well.
Hey. You know, the thing about limitation is that you can predict the outcome, or you can at least anticipate it.
Yeah.
So if I want to push for a unified governance system, then what I'll start doing 100 years prior is to begin to forge within the minds of children, forge within the minds of generations, that you only have a subset of options available when it comes to interacting. I begin to preach the gospel of compatibility, that you can only be compatible with a certain limited set of people. And the more I preach this, the more division I bring. Because in the inverse, and based on our discussion today, it therefore follows that we are compatible with everyone as long as they came from the image and likeness of God.
Mm-hmm.
It means that we interact not based on our comprehended limitations and subsequent compatibilities, but we interact based on the conviction of the love that Christ has given us. And how that shall they know that we are Christ's disciples? It is by the love that we show each other. Love is the language that we speak to the corporate body, past, present, and future, the body of Christ, that allows us to find a place of joining, a place of interaction, a place of belonging within each other.
You know, the lingo of compatibility is the harbinger of manipulation and control. When you start talking about, I'm only compatible with so-and-so, basically what that means is that you're anticipating an opportunity to manipulate and control. And that is the spirit of Jezebel. Because we are not supposed to look for where I fit.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's true.
We are supposed to be all embracing. That is why personality is an atmosphere. And you see, those that you think you cannot work with are the very, very destiny helpers that you need. So far as your vision is concerned.
So, Bishop, would you say that in the fallen state of a man, they end up destroying their atmosphere, and that is why they have this reprobate way of expressing their personality, such that I can't hang out with you because of this and this reason. Or even let's take it even deeper, maybe I don't agree with you on certain issues, so I separate myself from you. Is the reason for that the person has destroyed their atmosphere, and now they are just a shell of limitation. So their personality cannot allow
people that he this person does not agree with, or this person does not are not compatible with to be together. I don't know.
You see, when you do not perceive God aright, you'll not be able to perceive people aright.
Yeah.
You see, the only reason that makes us be able to accept each other is because God has accepted us in Christ. So if God has accepted us in Christ, we must accept each other in Christ, meaning we must be people who sow above likes and dislikes. Coming to what you were asking, I am of the view that when people find themselves not being able to be in accord with other people, in a way, I feel like I may not want to say that they destroy the atmosphere. Probably I would put it this way: they exit their pristine atmosphere and they enter into a strange atmosphere, an atmosphere that is not of any other person, but is an atmosphere that is created by the devil himself. An atmosphere that places them within the constraints of limitation. So that you begin to think in a particular way, you begin to feel a particular way, and you end up being modulated to operate in a particular way that you think it is liberating. But the truth of the matter is, there is no liberty there, because true liberty is within the atmosphere of Christ.
Mm.
That is where there is liberty. Anything else short of that is not liberty. That's why you'll see some people saying, you know what, I don't like people who are loud-mouthed. I don't like people who are very, very soft. I don't like this and that. You know, like and dislike is relative.
Yeah.
Because the truth of the matter is, God has not called us to be controlled by likes and dislikes. God wants us to accommodate each and everybody. So when you operate in such a manner, what happens is you exit the pristine atmosphere that God has ordained for you, and you enter into a preset atmosphere that the enemy has created for all members of the human race. Because, you know, the devil likes to control. So the moment you enter into the atmosphere of his control, he now makes you to become a controlling agent, whereby you begin to control situations, you begin to control other people, and in the process you end up being destructive. So the truth is this, beloved. God wants every one of us to be at a place where we understand one thing, that in as much as we are carriers of the atmosphere or atmospheres of our respective personalities, or personality, if I may put it that way, your atmosphere and my atmosphere are supposed to interconnect. There is supposed to be a correlationship between the atmospheres for the purposes of impartation, for the purposes of exchange program. Because, you know, when atmospheres touch base with each other in the purity, in their pure sense, if I may put it that way, impartation begins to happen. And when impartation happens, what will take place is that the enemy will flee and destinies will be fulfilled. Solutions will actually be found. That is the truth of the matter. Because no atmosphere can exist exclusive of the other. Because within the sanctum of the atmospheres of personality, there is usually help that comes along our way, and that help is what we need for us to be able to actualize the vision that God has actually given to us. And sometimes I also believe within the atmosphere of your personality, there's a certain capacity that God gives you to be able to be accommodative of somebody else's atmosphere. So that in you being accommodative of that person's atmosphere, that individual is able to release a certain potential that he or she carries that you need. Because remember, except that you're in fellowship with brethren, you'll find it very hard to operate within certain aspects of your personality.
Hey,
that's true.
Because there's no way, I can really know. Actually, what you're saying is, I can't also know myself just by me fellowshipping with God. I'm just in prayer, studying the word and all that. But it is only, it is also in the context of fellowship and in engagement with brethren that I'm able to actually realize who I am. Because what my brothers carry, their atmosphere is able, I'm able to, the minute I accommodate them, the minute I embrace what they have and relate and engage, I am able to discover who I am, because there are certain aspects that can only come out in relationship. How I deal with issues, how I think about matters, they only come out in the context of relationship. So that's why we cannot neglect fellowship, especially with the people God has put around us. You know, this is also making me realize I did not choose my church. I think the same way I did not choose my parents. God placed me. He plants you somewhere such that you're able to draw out as well as deposit according to your atmosphere, the atmosphere that you carry. So I'm even realizing, to my friends who are searching for churches, I pray that God will plant you, because we can easily start. I've met people who are looking for churches based on their preference.
Yeah, that's it.
And based on this conversation here, I'm realizing that cannot suffice.
Yes, it cannot.
It cannot suffice based on your preference. It cannot suffice. What suffices is, what is a place which is a place that God has planted you, such that your atmosphere is able to accommodate another person's atmosphere, such that both of you are benefactors of the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. Hey,
you know, the reason why people are looking for preferences in terms of churches is because they're looking for opportunities to manipulate and that's the whole idea. You want to join a church because, first and foremost, you've exited the atmosphere of your personality, so you've found entrance into the atmosphere of satanic operations. So the enemy uses you to search out for places where you can actually feel like you fit. You want people that can accommodate you in your defiled atmosphere, so that you can become an agent and a tool of manipulation and control. People move from church to church, not necessarily because they may be a problem with the church. I know there are issues in churches, but most times, you know, in my pastoral experience, I've discovered that you come across people who left a church because they were denied the opportunity to manipulate the leadership. So they come to a church and they want to manipulate. It's not really that they want to feed, they want to manipulate and control. They want to change the narrative of everything and everyone, so that they may actually feel like they have a sense of relevance. But the truth is, there's no relevance in that. All they are out to do is to manipulate, to control, and to destroy. And that's why such people, when you disagree with them, they'll end up saying there's no love. They'll even end up saying that you're a cult. The reason why they called you cultic is because you're not allowing them to do what the enemy has taught them to do, which is manipulate and control.
Yeah.
They do not want to let go of where they came from, because, you know, when you join a new church, you strip yourself the garment of the vision of your former church, and you put on the vision, the garment of the vision of the house, so that it begin to flow in the atmosphere of the house, because each and every church community operates within a framework of a spiritual atmosphere, the atmosphere of that particular vision and of the founder or of the man who presides over the altar. So, truth of the matter is, we are supposed to accommodate. We're not supposed to look for places where we can fit. Because if fitting were to be anything to go by, then I should have been given the authority by God to choose my parents. I should have been given the opportunity by God to choose even the church where I go to.
Yeah, it's true.
I should have been allowed by God to decide when I want to get saved and how I want to get saved, and salvation should be on my terms, not grace. You see? But the truth is, that's not the case. In Christ Jesus, we find ourselves understanding one thing, that when you're born again, there is no Jew, there is no Greek. The atmosphere of Christ, which is the atmosphere of his person, the person of Christ, is the atmosphere whereby Jews, Greeks, rulers, lawyers fit. The rich and the poor fit. There is no Jew, there is no Greek.
Yeah.
What is all in all is Christ.
Yes.
So even when you narrow it further, even to the local church, or even in relationships with people, we do not fit because we are of the same community. What brings us together is Christ Jesus. You see, that is very fundamental. So much to say that even when, let's say, we are faced with challenges in life, you know, the Bible telling us that we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called or who are called according to his purpose. Now understand this, all things working together for good basically means that which is positive and that which is negative. You don't only think of working together for good because things are working in favor of youth. Sometimes you might find yourself experiencing unfavorable or negative experiences in life. But understand that nothing happens by chance, no matter the circumstances of your life.
Hey.
Because everything that happens in life, it is not only permitted by God, but it is also intended to propel you towards the prophetic purpose of your life. That's very, very fundamental, beloved. And, you know, even when I consider this particular scripture that Paul talks about in Romans, all things working together for good, you know, facets and features, you know, of life that are either favorable as well as also unfavorable, they evince the inimitable aspect of who you are in the personality that you bear.
Ah.
That, beloved, pleasant and unpleasant episodes do not in any way reshape the purpose of God for your life. Neither can they metamorphose your personality. That's the truth of the matter. On the contrary, you know, favorable circumstances, they serve as a platform that reveals your personality. And they serve as restful moments for your personality to refocus on the divine vision for your life in light of God's purpose. And then, watch this. There is now the unfavorable aspects of circumstances. What do they serve? They serve as a platform. They serve as a platform of opportunity to demonstrate the capacity of your being in dealing with situations of life. I also believe that favorable circumstances, they are activation moments. While unfavorable circumstances, they are demonstration moments for your personality to manifest the vision of God in fulfillment of purpose. Gentlemen, over to you, even as we move on to the last phase of our conversation. Of course, after which, of course, the bionic man is going to conclude. So let's talk.
I think what you have said has really challenged me, because I realized, you know, there's this whole thing about people searching for churches, people searching for jobs, people searching for a fellowship because they want to be loved. They're looking for empathy, sympathy, and all that.
People searching for partners.
People searching for partners. You know, Bishop, you've caught it. So, you know, there are all these, like, there are so many categories of people. But I realized a lot of these people who are searching for something, the mistake is that they are searching when God had planted them somewhere. So God had planted them somewhere, and what they did is they uprooted themselves from where God had planted them, and then they planted themselves in another place. So either it's in another ministry, it's in another relationship, hallelujah, it's in another job, if it's career-based, and then they go to that place and they expect that the climatic conditions within that particular place will be able to be favorable to cause them to grow.
And I think one of the things that we've had in our community, because our tagline is actually diversity with purpose as Infinite Fellowship Ministries, is the fact that your breakthrough is tied to the person that is next to you. I've realized that this is not just at face value. So because, for example, Deacon Rob here has dreadlocks. So because he has dreadlocks and I want dreadlocks, I now fellowship with him. Like, it's not that automatic. It means that I perceive the atmosphere that he carries. And by virtue of me perceiving the atmosphere that he carries, I understand how my atmosphere is supposed to feed into his atmosphere. And I also am able to understand how I'm able to receive impartation from his atmosphere by consequence of relationship. It's not just an automatic thing, because there are no microwaves in the kingdom. So by virtue of the fact that we have a relationship, it's not automatic. And it's the same thing when it comes to fatherhood, because all truth is parallel. When it comes to fatherhood, you don't receive impartation because a spiritual father or a man of God has laid their hands on you. You receive impartation by consequence of perceiving the atmosphere that they carry, and not only perceiving the atmosphere that they carry and knowing how to receive from that atmosphere, but knowing how your atmosphere also supplies into the atmosphere so that there's a fullness. Because at times we want things from people, but we don't want to supply. And that's the challenge of our generation as millennials. We are people of quid pro quo. So you scratch my back, I scratch yours. And it's the same challenge that we're having in the body of Christ, that if you don't love me because Bishop didn't hug me today, I am leaving the church community. Yet, like, that shouldn't be the focus. It shouldn't be the overarching reality that determines where your relationship should move to. So I realized that this whole thing of vision and personality has a lot of impact when it comes to the relationships we have with each other, and even the relationships that we have with non-believers. Non-believers may not understand what atmospheres are, but by virtue of the fact that we are believers, God demands that we understand what the atmospheres of non-believers, even in the marketplace, carry, and we understand how to supply to that, even as they in turn are able to supply to ours, because they supply unknowingly. Because God uses them to be able to fulfill his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, gentlemen. Let's hear what you have to say. Remember, now you know we are now in the last phase of this conversation.
Yes. Wow, there's so much to say. There's truly a lot. So, number one, I think I'd like to say is that what I've realized is that in the operation of atmospheres, one of the things we need is a grace of God. It is the grace of God that causes us to be able to interact with one another, causes us to tap into the realms of God. Mm-hmm. And the thing that fights that is manipulation.
Yes.
When you are manipulative within ourselves, it means that I want to control God even. I want to control God's direction for my life. That's why I will not be able to submit to his grace.
Mm-hmm.
And because also I have manipulation in my life, I am unable to cause to work in my atmosphere and be in fellowship with fellow brethren.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, when I am not in my, if my atmosphere cannot interact with that, if my personality, my atmosphere cannot interact with other people, I will fall short of coming to the place of vision, because there's nowhere vision happens without other people. You cannot have vision or say, this is the vision for my life. Yes, it is the vision for your life, but God has created vision. For vision to be relevant, it needs other people to supply to and to supply into it. So, coming into all this, we must be able to confront every hint of pride, manipulation, arrogance, and even low self-esteem.
Yeah.
Things that cause us to want to control other people and to control other situations. Because that is what happened in heaven with Lucifer. He wanted to control God's positioning of him. And that is currently even still what we do even today as human beings. We want to control our position in people's lives. We want to control the favor that God has given us. That's why God has put everything by grace, so that there's nothing you can say I did God to bless me, or for God to give me this vision, or God to prosper me. And therefore, even as we come, even as we, the more we understand ourselves and we understand who we are in the man in the second heavens, the farther away we will walk from pride, if I may say. And the more we'll be able to embrace the fact that we have peace with God, and therefore, if I have peace with God, you know, like it says in Romans 5:1, I'll be able to be motivated, because it is the nature of God to be peaceful. I'll be motivated to be at peace with fellow men. Yes, so that's what I have to say.
You know, the man in the second heaven is the man in Genesis chapter 1, on verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
That's the man in the second heaven, the prototype.
Mm.
And everything that we read about in the first chapter of Genesis, all that God created, the plants, the animals, and so on, they were created in their, for lack of a better word, spiritual state.
Mm.
Before now, they were formed or downloaded or transported into the realm of time.
Well, now you want to make me talk a bit more.
That's the truth of the matter.
You know, all those that was created in Genesis 1 was not created as a response to man.
No.
To anything man did.
No.
Mm.
It was as a result of who God is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
Even when you look at the earth itself, okay, people look at the earth as physical, but the truth of the matter is the earth did not essentially exist as a physical form per se. The earth was actually a spiritual sphere.
Yeah, so do not try to manipulate to God to do what he has already done.
Yeah. He has done everything.
Mm.
Mm. That's why some of the women you married, if you had to be very honest with yourself, you don't qualify for them.
We did not choose them.
If you are to remember the days when you are who you are as a single man, do you really think that damsel would have actually considered you? How come is it that after all is said and done, she still said yes to you?
The grace of God.
Yeah? Because you see, she had the choice of going for somebody else.
Yeah.
And there were other guys
who were
even better.
Mm-hmm.
Let's speak now in natural terms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They were better.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine you're the one, she said yes.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
It was by grace.
Yeah.
God had already ordained everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah, God had already ordained it.
And you know, even Bishop, just on that point, we did not choose our parents, we did not choose like our family. Even the one person that we have been privileged to choose, it now occurs to me that we did not even choose them, really. Yes. Because if you think about it, why is it that there are people like a man chooses a woman, and then 5 years into marriage or 3 years into marriage, they are having issues, they want to divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't you choose that person?
Yes.
You know, as in, which means this thing, even when it comes to marriage, it is by grace. It is now, it comes back down to what we are now talking about, because what you're talking about is vision is a cradle of purpose. And the only way to realize vision is in your personality.
Hmm.
And your personality is the atmosphere where your identity is resident. So the atmosphere that you have must be able to accommodate, as it says in Romans,
yeah,
that you need to desire and strive to engage with people, especially those who do not think the same way as you do. You know, I believe that's in Romans 13. There's a way that we are supposed to posture ourselves and carry ourselves that the world is telling us, don't hang out with toxic people.
don't do this with, you know, and it sounds countercultural, and it is, because I'm starting to realize that yes, there are people who have negative energy, there are people who are toxic, there are people who want to manipulate, but if I carry the Holy Spirit and He is resident in me, there's a way that I can function that will influence such people to really come back into their true atmospheres, to restore them back to their true atmospheres. This is what we even do in church, because in the years that I've been in service and I've been a leader in church, I have seen God transform the untransformable people. People who I did not even like from the beginning. I was even wondering, why did this person come to this church? But over time, spending time with the word and spending time in prayer and in fellowship, you are able to now begin to see that there's an atmosphere that you carry, that because you are able to accommodate this person, there's a transformation that they are also getting because of that. And also there's a transformation that happened within me, that now I do not see people as irredeemable. I now begin to see that all these things are happening by grace. So even as I am in that atmosphere and my atmosphere is transforming, mine is also, my heart is also being transformed just by being in that company. So fellowship, there's so much to say. Fellowship is wonderful. I really love the conversation that we're having about personality, because I'm starting to realize that that idea that the world tells us who we are and how we should conduct ourselves, it's not biblical. There's that which Christ is telling us. And if we truly obey what Christ is telling us, how many more people will be redeemed? How many more people will be set free from their bondages? How many more people will begin to see and realize their purpose? Yes, I think.
Cardinal, take us home. Take us home.
This session has really cut me. It has cut me to the heart. Because I realize that I speak manipulation like a language. Because you know the way you know what you want to say, and you don't start, okay, I would hope that people don't start structuring on how they'd say it. It just flows out of their mouth. I see instances in my life where manipulation comes across like a language. And the more I speak manipulation and control like a language, the more I am communicating my distrust in God. The more I communicate my distrust in God, the harder it is for me to know who I am, to get the understanding of my vision, and to achieve God's purpose. Hey, I'm cut to the heart. I am accepting that this is truly a life-changing moment where I take this opportunity to not only confess, but also to turn away from that way of living. It's not profitable. It was not, the design of God was not that we struggle this much, because you know, manipulation and control, the more you speak it, the harder it is to achieve things in your life.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing myself very clearly, and I believe this is the impact of what is said in James, that those who meditate and read on God's word, they perceive themselves in God's word as a mirror. And I'm seeing the places of blindness that I was completely oblivious to. And I'm very grateful for today's session. It has made me come to the knowledge of these failures, and I'm looking forward. I'm relying on God's grace and mercy to bounce back and grow to who He has called me to be.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. Nigga, I'm bamboozled. I'm really bamboozled, but it's been a really wonderful session. I hope that you have been blessed by everything that we've been able to discuss today. I think a key question that I want to challenge you who are watching this session today is to really ask yourself, where have you been planted? And do you actually understand the capacity that God has placed in you within the place that you have been planted to be able to be fruitful? And if not, then this is an opportunity for you to go back and ask yourself, where exactly have you missed it? Go back and check with God. Go back and really ask yourself internally, do an internal audit and ask yourself, where is it that you have missed out? Insofar as understanding where God has planted you and being able to understand how to bear fruit within the place or the context that God has planted you in. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Spiritual Civilization. We are very happy that you've been able to join us today, and we trust that you have been blessed. Thank you so much for watching this broadcast. And wherever you are, do have yourself a wonderful day or a wonderful night. Thank you.